Hey team, welcome to another episode of the Intentional Agribusiness Leader Podcast, the podcast where we actually explore the minds of leaders from all around the agriculture and agribusiness space about what it takes to lead intentionally in this industry today. My friends, if there's some value in here for you today, we ask you to subscribe to the podcast, share this with someone who needs to hear the message of what it takes to be intentional. Let's get into the show. Hey team, welcome back to another great episode of the Intentional Agribusiness Leader Podcast. This is Mark Jewell, your host, and today I'm on with Scott Black, the CEO at Five Star Co-op up there in Iowa. Scott, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the opportunity to be here and visit with you.
Yeah, this is going to be a great conversation. I'm looking forward to it. Let's get into it. What does it mean for you to be intentional?
You know, when I hear see that word intentional, I think what comes to my mind, Mark, is purpose. You know, whether it's intentional for business or intentional, you know, personally. You know, what's our purpose? Why are we here? And I think whether it's a business like Five Star Cooperative or an individual, we all have to have purpose. You know, why we're here. We're all here for a short time. And as I continue in my career, it gets shorter, it seems like, you know, it gets faster. So creating a purpose of why we're here is important. And even in business, I mean, we look at Five Star when I came in 2 years ago, you know, we had our vision, mission statements that everybody has. And they were long-winded and some people don't know what a vision is, what a mission is. And so we said, you know what, we're going to create a purpose. A purpose for Five Star, why we're here, why we exist. And so we have a purpose statement here at Five Star versus a vision and mission. I think it's resonating with people. So that's when I think or hear about intentional, it's purpose in my mind.
Sure. I love it. We're super aligned in that. One of our three D's in our definition of really what is intention. And now well over 60 of these interviews that I've done, many, many more to come. I always ask the question, what's it mean for you to be intentional? And what I found in the first 50 episodes is that we had 50 different definitions of what it meant. Some overlap and some similarities, of course, but so much difference. And what that led me to understand is like, oh, well, we won't be able to measure this. Like, are people really intentional? What is an intentional leader? How'd you know? And if you saw one, of course, everybody thinks they are one, but we don't really put ourselves against any sort of measuring stick. And so where we align in your definition as purpose is one of our three D's of the definition of intention is that it's divinely intended. There's a divine purpose or cause, right, behind why I'm doing this. There's something bigger that's driving my reason for wanting to do this. Because when we're out there grinding, we got to pick up our sword and go to work and go slashing about trying to make things happen. Often we do a lot of things unintentionally. Yeah. And we end up with a lot of unintended results because we're not checking against that purpose. So I love it.
Yeah, you deviate from it. You kind of get it off track a little bit. Sometimes you got to bring yourself back physically, emotionally, you know, to what your real purpose is in life.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm curious, this is a little bit off script, but I think you can handle it. When it comes to personal purpose, professional purpose, I think a lot of people struggle. Maybe they don't want to bring it up at work because I don't really talk about my personal stuff, but I'm curious what's important about your purpose, Scott? And then how do we make it be okay to talk about that at work?
Yeah, you know, as I look at my purpose in life, whether it's professional or personally, I look at it as a servant, serving people, whether it's serving my family, my friends. Certainly here in business, I'm a big believer in servant, you know, leadership and that style of leadership and caring. Yeah. And the culture that we're working on and creating here at Five Star is one of openness and a focus on our team members. Now, when we talk about that, you know, we talk about safety, which every organization talks about, right? Safety. We want to keep our team safe. And that's relevant and that's important. And it's a team sport in my mind. But when we talk about safety, we not only talk about physical, we talk about emotional. And, you know, the importance of self-care, the importance of talking and having an open, honest discussion. So we're trying to create that, and we're making really good progress in creating that environment here that our team members feel it's safe to come, even to me or anybody in the organization, talk about the struggles they're having, whether it's personal, professional. We look at, mental health just like this. When you're physically not feeling well, right? And I had the last couple of days I was there, right? You're tired. You feel like you're catching something, right?
Yeah.
And so you maybe rest up, drink some liquids, take some medication to help with the symptoms. And hopefully you do it in time and it doesn't blow up into a full scale sickness. The same thing with mental. When you start feeling anxiety, tiredness and so forth, you need to step back early and take care of yourself. And if you don't, and you just keep going and going and going, then you may have full-blown mental stress, mental illness. Yeah. And so we openly talk about this at meetings about the importance of emotional and mental health and self-care. And I think that's helping to create that environment that people can talk about it and not feel shame.
That's fantastic. And I love to hear it. And that's one of the marks to us. That's one of the marks of a really intentional culture, right? When people are capable. We just got off of, as we record this, we just came off of our 2-day live event down in Nashville. And we had 42 leaders from across the country and from different companies, about 13 different companies. And we talk a lot about this. We measured the five dimensions of the human, which includes all the emotional, the spiritual, the relational, the physical, the mental aspects of the human. And we talk about the law of infusion, which means I can only infuse others to the degree that I first infuse myself. And everybody comes into a leadership program thinking, they're going to get another John Maxwell like leadership how-to book. Here's a 9-box method, a 4-box method. Right? Here's how to put people in boxes and manage them effectively. And that's not what we do. What we do is we go to work on the thriving leader. That's the name of the program. We go to work on that person who's on the quest of becoming a thriving leader, which means that they have to be in their servanthood. They have to be a little bit selfish, right? To make their body, their physical, mental, and emotional self a bit of a priority, because otherwise how can they show up?
Yeah. Yeah, nobody else will do it for you.
Yeah.
You got to be yourself. Everybody else is taken, right, Mark? You got to be yourself.
Gosh,
and sometimes you got to step back and take care of yourself. And then certainly in today's world, with everything moving so fast and technology and so forth, people are getting overwhelmed. They're getting overwhelmed at work. They're getting overwhelmed at home. They're getting overwhelmed with what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just got to step back and say, I cannot do this right now. I got to step back a couple of months. And so we encourage that here at Firestone.
Yeah, I love it. Especially in a year. I mean, it's 2024 as we make this, and hopefully somebody will be listening to this in 2026 and look back on what we got to go through and endure this year. But we're already in the, if you're following the news headlines, we're on the brink of a civil war. We're on the brink of a world war. What are we in, a recession, or is the market booming? And it depends on where you put your attention and where you put your focus, right?
Right.
And that's where, like, we need work environments that are safe places to come and curate a better environment, right?
Yes.
So I would love to talk about, culture and what's been important to you over the years in your roles. What does it take for you to be able to build that intentional culture?
Culture, it's interesting. You talk about culture and it's hard to sometimes wrap your mind around. When I got here at Five Star 2 years ago in this role, one of the things I knew coming in from visiting with the board is building a culture here, a new culture. And to me, building culture isn't just me sitting here in this office saying, okay, this is the culture we want here at Five Star. It's going out. So I spent a lot of time in listening and learning my first few months here, understanding the current culture, which really wasn't much here. You may when I talk about it. And as we came back and we started looking at it, we, myself, the board, leadership, other team members, we came away with a culture of caring here at Five Star. Caring. Caring for customers, which we all say, right? But caring for our fellow team members, caring for our values, caring for our assets, our Rollins value, facilities, caring for our brand. We wear this here. What does it stand for? Who are we? Caring for how we communicate, caring for the communities we serve. And so when we knew, okay, that's what we want to go, then It's all about the messaging, right? And starts with me, obviously, and relentless, consistent messaging about here's Five Star, and this is what we're about. And this is our ambition to create this culture of caring. And, you know, once you establish that culture, it's about that. We have team member update meetings every quarter. I'll go around and have several meetings throughout our territory and talk about how we're doing financially, talking about, I'm very much about transparency with our team so they know what we're doing. So when we're challenged, they know we got to, you know, do some things differently. And when things are going good, we need to celebrate. But at those meetings, you know, we talk about our culture every time, why it's important. Social media, more involved in that as well in terms of how we're getting that work out. But at the end of the day, you've got to, you can say you want to have a culture of caring, but you got to prove it, right? And from a position where I sit and from, you know, Five Star, how do we create that culture and that focus on the team? So, you know, we spent a lot of time on that as well, is how do we create a focus on our team member well-being, both physical, mental, as I mentioned before, and creating happiness and joy here. And those are soft words. People say, yeah, but you know, people are really, Mark, starting to grab this and understand it. Because many organizations, all of us, if you're in a company, say, our priority is to take care of the customer, right? Right? We're here to exceed customer expectation. Everybody says. For us, we feel a clear pathway to customer happiness is through team member happiness. You create a happy team. And when you have both, you have team member happiness, which creates customer happiness. Great things happen, including financial happiness, right, for the organization. So we have created a team member well-being committee a year ago. It's a committee of non-managers, no supervisors, frontline folks, different locations. You know, we have agronomy, energy, grain business, a feed business, retail business, and so from different locations, and they get together, and it's a place for fellow team members to go to talk about their concerns or talk about their ideas of how we can make this a better place to work here at Five Star. And so that's really helped out. So
if you want to within those conversations, Scott, excuse me for jumping in, but so within those conversations, do those is there empowerment for those ideas to float up? Do they eventually get to you? Do they get to other leaders? How does that work?
Yeah, it does. You know, the ideas come. We've had some really good ideas from the team that went to the well-being committee, and then they come to me. I just had lunch last week with them. Just every once in a while, a couple times a year, I'll check in. How's it going? You know, but it's your committee, right? It's the team's committee. It's not my committee. It's nobody in leadership. Great ideas have come from it. Yielding Recognition is a program that came through our well-being committee through a team member. And this is a recognition program that we have here at Five Star, where team members going to show appreciation, which we feel is a hallmark of creating a positive culture. Caring is showing not only respect, but appreciation. I didn't talk about that. So that came out. New uniform policies have come out. We've improved the PTO program for our team as a result of ideas from that well-being committee. Wow. So we can't do everything, right? You know, somebody may come to them and go, you know what? We want to work 20 hours and you pay us 40. That's going to make us a great place to work. Well, you know, we can't do everything. But we listen, and they know we're listening. And it's starting to get some real traction. And I think that's the key of creating culture, is set the mark of what you want the culture to be to fit the organization, but then just hammer away relentless communication and messaging of that culture. Sure. Because you know what? That creates not only pride within the organization, and you talk about retaining talent and so forth, it creates people outside of the organization going, what's Five Star? But interesting things going on there. Maybe it's a place I'd like to possibly work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, team, please forgive this quick intrusion into the podcast, but I have a really important announcement that I want everybody to get their earballs on, and that is that we have an upcoming Thriving Leader event coming up August 21st and 22nd. The Thriving Leader is our flagship program. We have run this thing over 135 times across the broad scope of agriculture. Thousands of people have gone through this, and our coaching programs and our public events each year are free. We only run two of these per year because of that. And your next chance to get access is coming up on August 21 and 22. The next one will not be until 2025. So we hope to see you. It's in Kansas City. Head on over to thriving-leader.com. That's thriving-leader.com. You get all the details and to book a meeting to see how you can get free access for you and some of your team coming up at the Thriving Leader in Kansas City, Missouri, August 21st and 22nd, 2024. We'll see you there.
I would love to break this all down. We're not going to have time in this short episode. So I will say, if you're listening to this in your earbuds or truck speakers or on the treadmill or out for a walk or wherever you're at in the combine or the tractor right now, like just rewind, like slide it back about 7 minutes to when I first asked the question about culture and listen to what Scott just shared, because there's a little bit of a masterclass in here. I may cut this out and put it in the app just to share with people that little piece. There's a little bit of a masterclass in here to not only talking about culture, you guys, but actually this is how they're doing it. This is how Five Star Co-op is going about this culture of caring. And the one thing I do want to nail down that Scott said was this piece about not being a place that just says it, but we're actually doing something about it, right? Not just being a place that says that we're caring, but the way that we care for customers is that we have people in teams that care about each other. And that's an inside out job. And generally speaking, across the broad scope of ag retail, you know that most of my business is in ag retail. So I know most of the problems that we're solving are with burned out ag retail sellers, operations managers, applicator drivers, right? Who are burned out because the customer has become a little G God, a little demigod in a way, right? And it's not that the customer is not important, but that customer has become more important than my health, my family, and my team.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no question. Like I said, when you clearly focus your intent on the happiness of your team members, like I said before, I've seen it many times. They're going to create happy customers. You'll get that part done.
Yeah. We call it around here, we call it the order of the kingdom, right? You get the right steps in the order of the kingdom, and everything takes care of itself when one part starts to outrank other parts that it shouldn't outrank.
Yeah.
Right. It's like when you're a hammer, everything is a nail, right? When you're a clock, everything gets measured by time, right? And all these are just measurement tools. They're just tools. They don't dominate. Yeah. They have a place, right, in the kingdom. And when they get out of place, then they become monstrosities. They get in the way.
Yeah. At the end of the day, culture is great, but you got to drive it. And it does start for me, right? If I'm out there saying, we want to create this culture of caring, and I don't show that deep down in my heart that I do care about our team, which I do, they'll see right through it. They'll see right through it. And I'll have some words to see things that's what we want to hear.
Yeah.
But when they see action, then it starts to really click with people.
Because you have to live it too, right? As the leader. And I'm in a coaching program right now. And one of the things our coaches keep saying is that what they see you as the leader do in moderation, they will do in excess.
Yeah, very true.
I was sitting at the, we have a no phone policy at our dining room table. Okay. Mostly that applies to supper time, right? And so the other day, my daughter was here. It was a Sunday afternoon. And my daughter was sitting there. We were having lunch about the same time. And I was out of habit. I pulled out my phone to look at something, right? Sunday afternoon. No big deal. Well, then she actually got up, left the room, and comes back to the table with her phone. And I saw it, and my wife saw it. And all I hear from over here behind me was, you know, I heard my coach say the other day, what you do in moderation, they will do in excess. And I thought, oh, busted.
That's right.
Busted. And yeah. I was like, you know what? Put it down. I said, Maggie, put your phone down. This is my fault. Yeah. I set a bad example. Just going to let you know that right now. Okay, but we're not going to do phones at the table. Yeah. Let's have our lunch.
No, that's exactly right. as leaders, and I say this a lot of times when we have new people come in the leadership roles for the first time, you know, and I'm trying to mentor them a little bit. And from one of the first things I say is, you're in a role now that people are going to watch you. They're going to watch your movements. They're going to watch what you say more than before. So you need to be intentional many times about what you're doing, why you're doing it, because people watch what you do, how you're behaving. And sometimes when there's challenges here in this seat, you got to go out there outside my door and have that positive image, even though deep down I'm concerned about something. We're all there. But you've got to be able to show as leaders that you care and they're important to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Scott, I would, I'm going to go quickly through a couple of these questions because I want to help. I want to have people learn a little, some things from you and just get to know you a little bit better. What's been your biggest win for you personally as a leader?
If I think about that, I don't think I've achieved it yet. Number one, I don't think I've achieved my biggest win yet. And as I think about achievements too, I don't think I have achieved it yet, and I'm not going to achieve it. What I mean by that is it's more of a we are going to achieve it. You know, whether it's in my personal life, we as a family, or here, you know, achievement is a team sport, and, you know, I haven't achieved it. Now, if I think about some of the things we've done, say, here at Five Star over a couple of years, prior to coming here, I spent 10 years with a co-op in Montana in a similar role. Mm-hmm. And some of the things we did there in creating a culture and moving that, you know, that cooperative forward and what we're doing here, certainly those are wins in my mind. But they're not my wins. They're all within Five Star.
Yeah. Beautiful. Who's been somebody you've really admired over the course of your career?
Many mentors, yeah. Right? I don't care where you are in the scale of leadership or in your career, mentors are important. I've had many mentors, you know, throughout my career, people you latch on to that you believe in what they're saying, they align with what you're saying. You know, when I took my first step, I was an animal health salesman for Fort Dodge, an old animal health company back in the day. You know, and I worked a territory out in the East Coast calling on veterinarians and got my first tap on the shoulder as 26 years old to go into the home office and was promoted into, you know, sales training role, right? And the first guy I worked with there, Paul Brown was his name. And I still keep in contact with Paul over many years. He is my first real mentor. Taught me a lot about communication, taught me a lot about marketing. But as you know, as you look through your careers, we all have mentors. And I highly encourage people to grab onto mentors. Mm-hmm. And don't feel, I don't need a mentor. I know everything. That's because we all do, right?
Right.
And so I really encourage people to have a mentor.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, some of the best relationships that I've had in the course of my career that really meant a lot were people that I've just, you know, buy them lunch or, you know, would get together with them once in a while, once a year, maybe when I'm in their town, but we, you know, we hang out, we spend a night together, have a couple glasses of wine or something, and we're just connecting and I'm asking questions, right? And just gleaning everything I can. And that's for those of you that are seeking mentors, like don't just go and expect them to know, like go with your questions. Take some self-reflection time to think about what are some things you'd like to improve, some things you'd like to do better, some goals you'd like to have, or how to get into a certain organization and ask. Like go with specific asks, make the most of those conversations. So, Scott, what do you do to keep your energy up? How do you stay healthy?
It's self-care. It's stepping back, right? I mean, yeah, we'll talk about exercising in the morning, you know, things like that. My diet, obviously diets, we'll go off the rails many times on the diet, but, mm-hmm. you know, exercising, again, self-care and taking that time creates that energy. And so that's the main focus. And there'll be some days where I'm telling the team it's 2:00. I got to go. I mean, I've had it. I need to step away and I'll let some people know I'm taking off right now. I just need a little time. And I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with other people doing that. But, you know, jobs like I have, jobs like anybody here on our team, take a lot of energy. And so you're not going to have the energy if you don't take care of yourself, folks, right? And make sure you're doing the right thing in self-care, both physically and, you know, emotional. Mm-hmm. And taking care of yourself. One of the things we started offering, again, team member well-being helped create this as well. is health care screenings here at Five Star. We offer it to all team members. We're going to have here in a couple of weeks, but they can go in and have blood work done and make sure they're okay. And so we highly encourage that as well, to because physically we all have demanding jobs, and you have to have that energy level high enough to be able to be successful.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. I love it. I love it. What resources, books, podcasts, conferences have been really helpful to you over the years?
Yeah. Many of, conferences, books. You know, when I first got into leadership years ago, I really immersed myself in self-learning in books. I mean, the current one I'm reading is from Simon Sinek. Many people know him. His book, Leaders Eat First. I love that book. I'm halfway through it. You know, it's all about servant leadership, which I mentioned, before.
Yep.
And I've got books in my office at home from 20, 30 years ago. And you pick them up every once in a while and you start reading them, and they're still relevant. It's interesting, the leadership and things in these books. And even though they're 30 years old, they're still relevant today. And I love books for sports. I'm into sports. Lou Holtz has some good books. Rick Pitino has some good books on leadership. If you like sports and want to entwine that into leadership, because leadership books can be boring. I'm sorry, they can.
Yeah,
and so if you have something that you care about, like I love sports and athletics, and you can read books from coaches, they have some great ideas.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, and there's so many good resources, and that's one thing I'm always encouraging people is to be in the consistent consumption of good, positive content, right? And like good stuff in, good stuff out.
Right.
If you're losing yourself, if you're spending a whole weekend, losing yourself into the Netflix and chill mode or just watching sports, I mean, there's time and a place, right, for these things, but also, as it says, everything in moderation.
That's exactly right. It's exactly.
But there's, I've taken in, and we're already the 7th of February, and I was counting up just the number of audiobooks and podcasts and physical books that I've consumed, plus studying the Bible. And it's like, it's so much good content. But in my role, that's what's required. People, like, in order to be able to serve, I have to put a lot of good stuff in.
Right.
So I think based on your role and whatever your responsibilities are, you have to be thinking about, hey, I got to be putting good stuff in. I can't just be responding to what's going on in the market or what the news is telling me or what my email inbox is telling me to think right now.
Yeah, exactly. You know what, Mark, no matter where you are in your career spectrum, early on or later on, learning and taking the time to learn is critical to the day they put us in there. We want to say it that, right? I mean, we have to continue to learn and adapt and change.
Love it. All right, my last question for you today, Scott. How important is vulnerability in being able to create an intentional workspace? You talked a lot about culture, how you guys are doing it, a little bit of a masterclass on what I think a great approach to culture building is, but how does vulnerability play into that?
You know, great leaders are humble, right? And vulnerable. And when you show vulnerability to your team and empathy towards them, it really resonates. And being just real, being yourself, showing vulnerability, admitting to your mistakes. Many times I'll be in front of a group and say, I missed that one, right? I messed up. But it's a learning, right? And so, we want to talk about that and the importance of learning and going forward. But building trust, being real, really resonates with people. And if you create that environment, you have a winning combination. But, also I think as you look at vulnerability is to admit when you make errors, as I mentioned before. But I do believe, and this is an old saying, right? You give credit to others when things are going well.
Mm-hmm.
And you take responsibility for when things are. And giving credit to others when things are going well. And when things aren't, take that person responsibility and not blame others.
You bet.
I think
I love
it works well.
100%. I think, I don't think, I know when you find a leader who's humble, who's willing to humble themselves before the challenge and say, hey, maybe I got this wrong. Maybe this didn't go as, I called that one wrong. That was the wrong play to call. And I had many of those moments, particularly.
Oh my word! Again, the old saying: if you don't fail, you're never going to succeed, right?
Right.
Show me somebody who hasn't failed; they haven't done anything. And
Yeah.
So, you got to be willing to fail and tell people they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I think that makes us relevant. Scott, this has been a great conversation. I wish we could go for another hour and just keep talking about this stuff. But thank you. Thanks for being on. Any last thoughts?
No, I appreciate you having me on. I think what you're doing here with leadership and specifically in agriculture, I think is fantastic. And your approach to more of that servant leadership, Mark, and how we take care of our people, how we attract and retain people in a company, not only in a company, but in our industry, right? I mean, we have issues with people leaving our industry in agriculture, whether it's the farm or whether you're on the supply side, like Five Star Cooperative is. And so I really, my hat's off to you, Mark, and what you're doing, what you're building. And I truly believe in the things you're bringing to the table.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
I hope today's episode brought you a great deal of value about what it takes to lead life and lead in this industry with intention. If you want to go deeper on the topic of leading with intention, I encourage you to head on over to intentionaltoolbox.com and get the 7 free tools that will help you to lead your life in all areas with a greater deal of intention. That's intentionaltoolbox.com. And finally, if this message resonated today, if there's something in here that you got value from, I promise you there's someone else in your life who also would get value from this. So please share the episode, share the podcast, and make sure that you subscribe.